It's time to go around the diamond. Baseball news and notes featuring everyone's favorite roast beef eating, Eclipse watching Hall of Famer, Jason Stark.
Every week, our guy Jason Stark joins us to talk baseball around the diamond. Chops joining me today, no common man. Jason, how are you doing, man?
T-Bone, I am good, my friend. How are you?
I am very good. I was watching the Braves game last night. There was a bit of a snafu with the replay at the end there. Maybe not to some, but to me, it certainly looked pretty clear about the play at the plate. But you couple that with the Mets game last week where Conforto got hit on a what was being called strike three, and then, you know, the umpire overturned it and decided to award the base to Conforto, which brought in the run from third. So that ended that game for the Marlins. I guess my question is, with replay being so prevalent, there are still issues. Both of those are different, but do you think because of some of these issues, Major League Baseball will start to try to expand replay a little bit more once again, or even despite these issues, are they kind of satisfied with where it sits right now?
Well, I think this has always been an item that they introduced expecting to tweak it, expecting for it to evolve as things went along. And, you know, I've talked to you enough about replay that you guys know I'm a proponent of replay. I like the idea that we don't have many days like we've had these last couple of days where you wake up the next morning and say, how did they ever get that call? You know, like most of the time with replay, the right team wins every night. That's the idea. Get the calls right and the right team wins. But the right team did not win that Mets game, and the right team did not win that Braves game. And it raises issues that baseball needs to think about. In the case of the Braves game, I don't ask much of the guy who scores the winning run, but touching the home plate, I'd like to include that. And Alec Boehm never touched the home plate. The issue that raises is this. When you have only umpires in that replay room, I just think there's a natural reluctance to overrule their fellow umpires who are on the field. And Ted Barrett, if you watch the replay of that play, he's looking right at it. And if they had any doubt, I am certain that they said to each other, our boy Ted Barrett's 2 inches away and he called him safe, so let's just go with that. But that was not the right call. So should we just have umpires in the room, or would it help to have somebody who's not tied to those umpires? And then in the case of the play in New York, where obviously Michael Conforto got hit by a strike, you can't just review whether or not he got hit. You have to review the entire package. You have to review the entire play. There's a reason that they don't review balls and strikes normally, but this is a different situation. Like you wouldn't look at Steph Curry hitting a big three-pointer at the buzzer or taking a big three-pointer at the buzzer and just look at whether his foot was behind the line and how many seconds were on the clock. You would also look at, did he make the shot? You can't just review a little slice of a play. You should review the whole play. And those are the changes that I think should be looked at in the wake of these two calls.
Something also from that Braves-Phillies series over the weekend that I saw, I think it was Friday night that Acuña hit that big homer, and he took a minute to look at it, admire his work. And I saw some people, we were talking about this earlier in the show, there was a Philly radio host who was saying that he was upset that the Phillies didn't go and plunk a guy on the Braves later for that, for, you know, showing up their pitcher. Is that something that is just like old baseball people still want in the game, and the current players really don't care about those old unwritten rules? Or where's that going, do you think?
Yeah, the baseball culture wars will never stop raging. We know that. But a few years back, when it was during the World Series, if I remember right, when the Let the Kids Play commercial came out. And what was notable about that commercial was it was a Major League Baseball commercial. And that, to me, was a culture-shifting moment, because it didn't come from Nike. It came from the sport itself. And if you're going to let the kids play, then that means let all the kids play. It means you don't suspend Nick Castellanos for showing real emotion. That just doesn't compute anymore. But the only thing I care about at this point is the emotion genuine? Is it authentic? And unless it's something that's just an act, it's somebody trying to get on TV, I like, baseball has to get to a point where they understand that when players show their emotion and personalities, that is a good thing. That's what the most popular sports allow their players to do, show personality, build their sports around personality. The more baseball does that, the better off it'll be.
Yeah, well said. Around the Diamond with Jason Stark right here on The Fan. So there's a rule about teams getting vaccinated, and I know you have advanced medical degrees, which is why we like asking you medical questions.
Yeah.
But Major League Baseball, they have a rule that if you get 85% of the team vaccinated, they're lifting restrictions. I know a few teams have, I guess, reached that milestone, but in general, just from what you hear around baseball, do you hear that that is like actually motivating players and teams to kind of do this? Or are you kind of hearing that's like, yeah, we don't, not that players, they're up, welcome to make their own decisions, but is that rule doing anything in that regard or not so much?
It is. Now, all teams are not going to be the same. All players are not going to be the same. All people walking around our planet are not going to be the same. It's the world we live in now. But here's where that comes from. They know that they cannot institute a rule that requires every single person to get that vaccine. Can't do that. So when you're trying to run a sport during a pandemic, what you need to do is incentivize behavior. What they're saying is, do you want to live a normal life again or not? If you do, this is your ticket to do that. These are the dots you must connect to do that. And there's a lot of reason that players will look at the things they are forced to do with these protocols in effect and the things they're not allowed to do and think it's worth it. That's going to work with a lot of people and a lot of players and a lot of tier one personnel, everybody on the field with access to the field. It's not going to work with everybody. What they don't really say is this is also our vehicle to restoring normalcy in the stands and in every facet of baseball life. But they can't require fans to get vaccines. Some teams are requiring either vaccine or negative test. But this is such a difficult issue to contend with in the sport and in the world. And you're just seeing the way they're attempting to do this. Incentivize behavior, don't require behavior. If you guys have a better idea, they'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Last question I have for you. We found out that the next solar eclipse is going to be in 2024, and we know how big of a fan of solar eclipses you are.
I am.
Are you aware that Central Ohio is in one of the prime viewing locations?
Just all right, this is an excellent question because I did go sit on top of a mountain in Oregon to watch the last eclipse.
Oh, I didn't know it was a mountain. Okay, that does change the game. We're not, if you're looking for mountains, we have a few little hills. We don't really have a lot of mountains around
here.
Yeah,
the search for a mountain in Ohio is going to be a little bit challenging. But I'll tell you this. We had 23 people watching that eclipse from the top of that mountain. And after it was over, after it was time to go our separate ways, what was the first thing we did? We looked up, where is the next eclipse? Where could we see the next eclipse? Maybe we should go as a group and go see another
eclipse. Oh, that's great.
Okay, so
I love that. I love the connection being made.
Like, what percentage of totality would I get if I were, for example, at your studio in the parking lot?
100%. Well, according to what we saw, we are in the 100% band. We did look that up. So if you
well, he could climb the top of the radio tower.
Listen, yeah, that's true. We have one of those. Those are very high. You can get way up there.
I climbed that mountain in my car, my rent a car.
Right. All I'm saying is we've got some Arby's with your name on it. Total Eclipse of the Heart will be queued up. We will play that for you if you ever decide to make it out here for that. We will gladly facilitate is all I'm letting you know, as
you know,
always.
If you're promising 100% totality, you are in the equation.
All right. Very good. Jason, we appreciate it. We'll talk again next week, man.
Good to talk to you guys. Thanks.
There you go. Jason Stark, Around the Diamond.